G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 394 of ErkPod, coming to you from the majority of the episode, at least from San Luis Obispo in California. We then continue to Los Angeles, and then finally home. This will be the final audio boo episode, where we bring you a series of audio boo messages put together and made into one episode. The reason for the audio boo episodes was a quick and dirty way to get some content to you during the trip, and it also meant that I didn't have to edit ErkPod episodes while I was overseas. From the next episode, episode 395, in some ways we start the trip again, but this time with greater detail and more content apart from what you've heard on the Audio Boo series. So by the time that you've listened to the end of this episode, and if you've listened to the other seven parts, you'll know exactly how my trip went, but with more detail next time round. Enjoy. G'day, I'm Erk. Day 40, what a way to crack the 40 days on the trip. Very early, stupid o'clock, Darko 30, call it what you will, on Friday the 22nd of February 2013. San Francisco International Airport, waiting to depart ACME Terminal. Gate 46 heading to San Luis Obispo via LAX. And boy, oh boy, I am so lucky to be here right now. After the Dore gig last night, which was absolutely awesome, by the way, time I got back to the hotel, which was also awesome because I navigated my way through the buses all myself. I thought, well, okay, I'm going to get 2 hours sleep, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to feel like shit, and make my way on the shuttle to the airport. So I set my alarm for 3:40, shuttle due at 4 o'clock, flight due to leave here at 6:20. What I didn't count on, was the fact that the alarm didn't go into "Hello, Erk, wake up" mode with the sounds and everything, but it saw fit to vibrate for 15 minutes before I actually woke up. And when I woke up, I saw, holy shit, it is 5 minutes to four. My shuttle is due in 5 minutes and I'm still in bed. You know, I've still got stuff that's out, like the Sleepalyzer 5000 that I used to sleep. It was still in my head at this stage. And so I've had a very, very, very quick shower to sort of help wake up. Grabbed all my stuff, just put it into bags quick as I could. I didn't even put my shoes on, didn't put my belt on. Well, I thought I'd got to take them off for security anyway. And I raced down to the shuttle, delayed it for 5 minutes. But at 10 past four, we were off and headed to the airport, made another couple of stops on the way. And there was another guy who was slightly late as well, so heaps of time as it turned out. During the trip, the smaller carry-on bag decided that it wasn't closed enough, and it was open, so I had to fix that. Packed up the Sleepalyzer 5000 a little bit better, and then I just headed to check-in. Now, ACME at the larger airports, they are doing a lot of this self-serve check-in now. And so I've asked the guy, because I'm traveling first class and all, where's the priority line to check in? Oh no, you have to use the machine unless you have a problem. Then you have to go all the way down the bottom to check in. So I thought, okay, I'll use the machine. Use the machine, no problem. Go to the bag drop line. Show the ticket to the staff member. She sends me down the general line instead of the sky priority line. So I thought, yeah, not gonna argue, just went down the line. And then the first guy who seen me goes, "Aren't you sky priority?" And I says, "Well, traveling first class, I would have thought so, but your people sent me down this line anyway." So he told me to get in the sky priority line, which is where I knew I should have went in the first place.
But if an aircraft or an airline employee or somebody like TSA send you down a line, you don't argue, you just go down it. So I went down that, got filled up by TSA, and not the cute TSA female officer that was there. I got swabbed for explosives, passed that, and here I am. I need a drink. I need a drink or something, but I'll be going to Los Angeles, and then in about 4 hours or so, I'll be meeting up with Shauno and Jen, which will be awesome. Until LA, I'm Eric. Thanks for listening. I need sleep. Good night. G'day, I'm Eric, and this is day 40, Friday the 22nd, February 2013. Dateline, Los Angeles International Airport, LAX. After a nice flight down with ACME, or ACME Connection, to be totally correct, had a not lovely flight attended by the name of Katie. Absolutely awesome. Nice way to start the day on that particular flight. Seat 1A, awesome. Felt a bit strange actually because there was a pilot deadheading, and he was heading down the back of the plane where I was heading to first class, seat 1A. So that was strange. Picked up my bags pretty quickly. I was first off the plane, picked up my bags pretty quickly. Bags were waiting for me when I arrived, and then I had to change from terminal 5 to terminal 8 according to my app on my phone. Turned out it was terminal 7, and so I jumped on one of the shuttle buses going back to the car park, and the lady says, yeah, I'll drop you off at terminal 8, and she promptly forgot to drop me off at terminal 8. So I went around and did a complete loop via the car park and all, and then back here. Checked in with United, or what I might start calling them, Untied. Checked in with those guys. With the fare that I selected, no free bags, had to pay $60 for the two bags. But they're checked in now. That sort of solves my luggage storage solution that I was thinking of. Through TSA, probably about 15 minutes in San Francisco, and about same sort of amount of time here. Of course, I got explosive tested in San Francisco, but not here. I did actually forget to take off my belt, and I didn't get beeped, I didn't get frisks or explosive swabbed or anything like that. Straight through. I just totally forgot to take the belt off, and yeah, got through. I was very, very surprised. So I'm just here now, waiting for the flight to take me off to San Luis Obispo, which will be absolutely awesome and a nice way to finish the trip. I'll be back here at LAX on Monday. It's a longer layover. It's a 8-hour layover, I think, from memory. Between the Untied flight and the Virgin Australia flight back home. It's great actually to see a Virgin Australia plane on the taxiway heading into its gate as I was coming in. So I've got a couple of nice shots of that, and I've just fired that off to the Virgin Australia social media team. So that will be nice to see if they respond to that. Feeling a bit tired, need some caffeine. I've only had 2 hours sleep. And then, of course, there was the mad rush to get to San Francisco Airport this morning. But, felt nice on the flight. But all this running around, I'm just prepared to just sit back and relax and get something to eat and possibly record an Erkpod episode. Anywho, I'm Eric. Talk to you from slow, dudes.
And just remember, the next time you're at LAX, the white zone is for the immediate loading and unloading of passengers only.
G'day, I'm Eric. This is day 40 of my trip. It is Friday the 22nd of February 2013. Dateline, the No Market Studio, San Luis Obispo. I have a special couple of guests. Say hello, guest number one.
Hi, Irk.
Hi, Shauno. And say hi, guest number two.
Hola.
Hi, Jan. How are we?
Good.
It was nice of you guys, by the way, to organise a taxi for me. You know, the black and white one with the star on the door.
It's that was pretty cool. Special people, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I told them that we had a serious terrorist threat from Australia at our airport, so they sent the police. No, just kidding.
So it's really good to see you guys again. I was here in 2009, and we'll be sharing stories on ErkPod and also No Market over the next couple of days. And I've done the trip in reverse this time, so you get to hear all of the stories live rather than on the podcast.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners, what have we been up to today?
Well, we picked Irk up at the airport. That was around noon. And then we had lunch at Denny's.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we came back to the house for a while. And
Fun just sitting around and talking, which sounds like, oh, how exciting, you just came and sat around and talked. But this is like the most fun for us. We like that kind of stuff.
Irk is presently, as we're talking, he's blowing out our meager DSL, uploading all his photos to Flickr, which is fine. That's been going on for a while now. And Irk and I went to Applebee's and had a wonderful dinner.
With cheerleaders.
With cheerleaders, a bus of cheerleaders. And
the guy at the hotel, we should tell the listeners about the guy at the hotel.
Well, yeah, we're not sure, but for at least a brief moment there, we think the guy running the Irk's hotel might have thought that Irk and I were there, quote, together.
Right, because I was not there.
No, Jen was not with us.
Denny's had food that contained gluten, so I was down for the count for a while.
Yeah,
so
Jen.
They went on their own, and... Yeah, apparently, from what you've been saying, the hotel guy figured that, yeah, you were there together.
What would have happened if Jen was with us, Shauno?
Well...
Probably would have turned to me and said, aren't you staying?
Well, it would have been... It might not have been so bizarre, because then at least, knowing that, you know, you have a room with one king bed and there's three people, he might automatically assume, okay, well, three adults can't sleep in a king bed. So maybe it would knock off the... It would knock the balance off enough that maybe he wouldn't assume automatically that, you know, one room, one king bed, two dudes. Mm-hmm. Irk and I actually made a joke. We said, oh, we should start a podcast now called Two Dudes, One Bed.
They probably would have asked me if I was staying, not knowing, you know, who I'm with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And then, of course, there was the unnecessary noise rule.
Yeah, the pool, there's a pool at Irk's hotel, and there's a sign out front, a big sign with all these rules you have to follow if you want to use the pool. One of them is no unnecessary noises, which is the most vague interpretation of noises.
Some people might say that this is unnecessary noise, what we're talking
about
now.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's you know, the pretty much the static review I get for every podcast that I've ever produced is this is unnecessary noise.
Another name for a podcast.
Exactly, unnecessary noise.
Yes. And this would be the perfect place for it because, as you were saying earlier, there was lots of unnecessary noise outside today.
Earlier, yeah, lots of sirens and planes and train horns. And
someone using a weed whacker to mow their lawn. And
Yeah.
So to finish up, what sort of drink am I going to have?
Please give me cock. Oh, please give me cock. I want a cock.
There was the moment. Oh, so many moments. You're just going to have to listen to our shows to figure it out. I'm Irk.
I'm Sean.
This is Jen.
Good night, Interweb.
Bye.
Bye.
G'day, I'm Irk. Day 41 of my trip, Saturday the 23rd of February 2013. You gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to catch the bus, and know when to walk. You gotta find the clipper, or whatever your ticket is. I'm here in slow, the slowest bus in the county. The slowest bus in the county is sitting right here. The slowest bus in the county is right here, waiting for Shono and Jen, waiting in slow near the slowest bus in the county. Yeah, I know. I should stick to talking, shouldn't I? Yes, here I am in San Luis Obispo, day two. Got some great sleep at the hotel last night, which was really awesome and really needed after the 2 hours of sleep the night before in San Francisco. Beautiful day here in SLO, not a cloud to be seen in the sky, and the weather forecast all week has zero chance of precipitation. Indeed, you can probably even get away with not wearing a jacket at the moment, although it does get a little bit colder when the sun goes down. I'm standing outside or across the road from one of the slow transit buses. Now, I don't mean slow as in doesn't go very fast. Slow as in San Luis Obispo, of course. The funny thing about slow is that that isn't actually the airport code for the airport. There is actually another airport, which Shauna and I have spoken about before, that has the airport code of slow. So slow's is SP... SBP, I couldn't think of the last letter. Sierra Bravo Papa is the airport code for slow. And it's not slow, just in case you're wondering. Anywho, it's going to be an excellent day. Time to sit back, relax, wait for Shauna, and lots more adventures. And lots more podcasting recording too, which will be absolutely awesome. G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to day 41 of my trip. Saturday the 23rd of February 2013. Really, really good day in SLO. Started out the day hanging out with Shauna downtown. We went to Moe's restaurant, had some nice barbecued chicken, and then we chatting and everything after that, and we saw a NASCAR crash. Not the NASCAR crash that everybody's reporting about in the news, but this one was involving a driver by the surname of Dick. And so that was about 10 minutes of constant Dick jokes in the restaurant, which was quite funny. We tried to go on the local slow transit double-decker bus, but that wasn't running. We tried to go on the downtown slow trolley, that wasn't running. I spent about 10 minutes having a conversation with a lady at a milk bar in relation to my accent. That was pretty cool. Back to Shauna and Jen's, met up with Jen. Spent the afternoon working on my train video from New York to Portland. That was pretty cool. That ran for about 55 minutes. There's some things I could do to improve the video for next time, but overall it was pretty good. So that was cool. Uploaded more photos to Flickr and just basically hung out for the rest of the day. Which was, it was good. You know, we're all sort of like-minded people, so we can, as I think Jen said, we don't necessarily need to go out and necessarily do stuff like jump out of planes and all that sort of stuff to have fun. You know, just being able to hang out, being in the same room, and just being able to chat and have lots and lots of laughs. That's a really important thing, and that was a really good thing. And it's a really good thing that I've basically ended the trip, or I'm ending the trip here. Whereas when I was here in 2009, I started the trip pretty much with these guys. And I had basically no American stories to tell them, but now, of course, I've got lots of stories, lots of fun. And, yeah, it's just been great just to be able to hang out. No real pressure to do all the touristy stuff. I've walked in
downtown. So, yeah, it's a really, really nice city for what it is. It's a college town. It's a university town. You know, it's small. Yeah, it's small, but you know, it's not the big metropolises of San Francisco or LA. That's for sure. But if your circumstances allow it, it's, you know, it's a good place to live. The weather's good. The people are nice. You know, you've got all the facilities that you need, which is good. You've got, you know, you've got everything that you could possibly need. You know, the transportation, you know, out is that of a, you know, small country town in places, but you know, you make do with what you've got. But you know, in some people's situations, like Sean and Jen, they basically work online, so they don't necessarily need to be in a particular place, but they like it here, and I can see why they like it here. Absolutely, I can see. You know, given my circumstances, it wouldn't be any good for me to live in Slow, but yeah, I can see why people could. I can see why people would go to college or university here. And as I said, it's a real university town. Anywho, I'm Eric. Thanks for listening. Really good day for 41. 42 to come, and then 43, and then the flight home, and then that will be it. Good night, Interweb. G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to day 41 of the trip, Saturday the 23rd of February 2013. Had a really interesting incident in the shower at what I've been calling Hotel Slow, here in San Luis Obispo, California. You know, woke up and I thought, yep, need to have a shower. You know, that'll help me to wake up and, you know, get fresh and everything like that. So, in the centre of the wall for the shower, there's a thing that looks like a knob to turn on the water. So I'm twisting it. Nothing's happening. Try and move it up and down, thinking maybe, you know, up for on or something like that. That didn't work. Tried the whole, you know, switching between the bath tap and the shower head thing. That didn't work. So I've rung up the front desk and said, "Hey, front desk, I've got no water coming out of my shower. Help." And he says, "You got to pull the handle." So I'm thinking, handle? I've already pulled the little handle that switches the water between the shower and the bathtub, but nothing's going on. So he says, I'll come up in a minute. So he comes up, he comes in, and then what I thought was a twisty tap. Yeah, you twist it for hot or cold, but to activate the shower, you've actually got to pull it towards you. Sort of like pulling out the choke in like an old car to get it to start. And he goes, "That's the handle I was telling you to pull." And I'm like, "Well, dude, doesn't really look like a handle to me." And so after being re-educated on shower operations 101, I had a shower, and it was one of the better showers that I've had in America in terms of water pressure and heat and everything like that. So that was cool. Also, on Friday night, when we checked into the hotel, I think I mentioned in the previous audio message that I drove Jen's car over here and Shauna navigated for me. And so it was just my idea to drop my bags off at the hotel, check into the hotel, and then drive Shauna back to his place. And so anyway, the guy must have thought, because I'd booked a single king-size bed and the two guys that were on together, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that. So we checked into the hotel and, you know, put my bags up here, and we noticed that behind my room there's a swimming pool, which at the moment is closed for repairs. And they've got a whole list of rules of things that you can't do in the pool, you know, like the usual things, no diving, One of the things is no children in the pool under 14 without adult supervision. There's another one that says no swimming in the pool unless you're a tenant. And so it's our theory between myself, Sean, and Jen that the sign actually used to leave at like an apartment block or a condo block or something like that, because there's no way that they'd call it a tenant if it's at a hotel. They'd call it a guest or a customer. But there's a point on the sign which says no unnecessary noise. So we've been trying to work out what unnecessary noise is, and I think I figured it out. It's winter. People like to swim. People like heated pools. This pool is apparently heated. But to heat the pool, you need to have the heater on. And so the heater will cause unnecessary noise, which is not allowed. So to prevent that, they'll turn the heater off, which makes the water cold. No one will want to swim. They don't want to say pool closed for the winter. So they just go, pool's under repairs. And people might accept that a bit more. So I think I finally worked it out. But I'm still trying to figure out what unnecessary noise is and what necessary noise is. Anywho, I'm Eric. I'm going to make some unnecessary noise with Sean Owen-Jen a bit later on. Good night, Interweb. G'day, I'm Eric. This is day 42 for Sunday, the 23rd of February 2013. Here at a very popular post-podcasting hangout here in San Luis Obispo with Sean Owen-Jen. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Where are we?
We're at the good old Denny's.
Again.
Not to be confused with Danny's Donuts.
Which it used
Lakewood,
to be.
California, 1953, which we just found out was the very first Denny's, the proto Denny's.
The prototype.
Yeah. You just have to go back in time to see that one, though.
Yeah, well. So, here we are. This is like the second time we've been here today.
Today.
Oh, no, it's true.
So, why are we here anyway?
We're hungry.
Well, we're hungry, and we were podcasting until, well, probably
midnight?
About 11 o'clock, really.
Yes.
In the last hour or so, we were doing other computer-related things. And this is all there is. There's not a lot that's open late in San Luis, so. But old trusty Denny's.
It's there.
Yeah, because, of course, when we were here in 2009, Sean O and I were here about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was? That was back at a time when, at least me, I was on a bit of a later schedule. And I don't think we got started recording until probably... Well, we recorded a 3-hour show.
We did.
Yeah.
So I don't think we got started until probably 9 o'clock at night. So by the time, you know, we actually got out the door, it was like 1-ish. Eric, you and I, Jen.
I would have
Jen
been
went
teaching,
to bed because you weren't teaching.
No, I wasn't?
No, you were still working at the bookstore.
Oh, God.
But,
No.
No,
you were teaching.
That's not right. I was teaching 2009.
Yeah, she was teaching.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would have been up early for that.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
I wouldn't have been able to go hang out at Denny's at 2 a.m. like I can do now, because I is a writer, and I write good, and I have my own schedule. Mm-hmm.
So so here we are once again.
Yeah, in the Denny's.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So we've had fun, yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of fun.
It's been great. Come back anytime. It's like you've always been. It's very comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know, it's been almost 4 years. A lot of water's gone under the bridge since then.
Yeah. But, you know, good friends you can pick up with at any time.
Doesn't matter. I mean, Eric, I listen to you all the time, so I don't feel like I...
And I try to catch you on Twitter, because I'm hopelessly behind on podcasts. I'm going to catch up, but I can catch you on Twitter. We've had conversations on Twitter back and forth a lot.
Mm-hmm. So does it still feel strange that, like, I'm actually here?
I think it's exciting that you're here, but it's felt like you've always been, you know, like it's part of... You know?
Yeah, there's not really anything strange about it. It's just, it's obviously it's obviously a break from, I don't know, quote-unquote normal, but it doesn't feel, you know...
It feels like alternate universe where you lived, I don't know, down the street or in the next town, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come back from the future.
Right.
Exactly.
To see you guys.
Exactly,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's been all good. Should we give listeners a bit of a sneak preview of what they can hear? What was it, No Market episode 26?
26, yeah, nomarket.org. Mm-hmm. No Market Radio episode 26. It won't It'll go up sometime in the next few days because at present I'm uploading a very large file and I won't be able to upload another one until it's done.
Yeah.
So,
but it'll be soon.
But in the next couple days, I'll probably get the, I'll do all the show notes tomorrow and then, or today as the case may be.
I guess it's today, technically.
Once the other file is finished, I'll upload the other one because I'm pretty sure if I try to upload two at the same time, my server will explode.
Yeah.
Or my DSL will, one or the
quit.
Other.
Yeah. Protest so and quit.
Yeah, so lots of fun, guys. You'll hear, of course, a bit of it during the podcast, but as we said, maybe we should just record ourselves in moments like this when we're just shooting the breeze. And
yeah, that's what we should have. Looking back from the moment that we arrived at Denny's,
mm-hmm.
which was the first thing we did when you got here, Irk, we should have just put the recorder on the table and recorded all our conversations and just, you know, strung them together, post, and then put that all out as a show because it would have been at least as entertaining.
So plan for next time.
But I was going to say, you could make quite a few episodes out of that because, you know, we've obviously been talking a lot about very different things, but you're going to have to listen to the podcast, folks, to hear some of it anyway. Nomarket.org, channel8.com.
Indeed.
Yep.
Good night, Interweb. Thank you, Sean and Jen. It's been fun.
Thank you, Irk.
G'day, I'm Irk. It's the last day of the American trip. It's day 43, Monday the 25th of February 2013. Here with Sean, and we're about to check out of the hotel slow.
Now, our last chance to make unnecessary noises before Irk leaves America forever.
Until the next time.
Until next time.
So what we're going to do, because we walked in together
right.
when we checked in, we're going to walk in together when we check out.
Absolutely.
And see what happens. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're just checking out.
Okay. I need on the key and it'll be all.
There we go.
Yep.
Awesome. You'll be placed in my... No, I made no unnecessary noise. Awesome.
All right.
Thank you. Well, that was disappointing because it wasn't the same guy that checked us in.
No.
He's probably the night guy or the afternoon guy.
Yeah.
And this guy is the morning guy.
Well, I'm figuring that you came in on a Friday. That guy, he might have been like a part-timer or something. Here.
Yeah, maybe.
But, checked us and checked you in that night. So.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the king-size bed, Shauna? Did you enjoy the pool?
Yes, they were both fantastic.
The vending machine, the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
All good. So let's go to the airport.
All right.
G'day, I'm Eric. Final day in America. Dateline Monday the 25th of February 2013. Slow International Airport, terminal number 69. Yeah, just kidding. No, I am at Slow International Airport. I've been dropped off by Sean and Jen. Great to see those guys. The US Airways Express plane is here, and also my United plane is here. For some reason, my bigger bag was supposedly 2 pounds overweight. And so United wanted to charge me $100 for that, despite the fact that I'd already paid $60 for baggage. So we did a small repack, and it came something like £2 under the repack. So somehow, within the small amount of things that I'd moved, I'd lost 4 pounds. Through security in about 10 minutes, we're just waiting to board the plane to Los Angeles and then lay over in LA. Yeah, it's a fun-sized airport, but Slow's a fun-sized place. Or as the license plate of a car in front of us read on the way up. Love Slow. Absolutely awesome. Can't wait to be back next year. And, yeah, just winding down now before the flight. We also spotted what appears to be some sort of Air Force plane. Sean, I went over and had a bit of a closer look at that. Of course, couldn't get too close to it, but talking of big aircraft versus small aircraft here at Slow International. Anywho, I'm Irk. I'll just let the ambience take over and see you in LAX.
an early riser either. All things have to stay last night. Just a minute, please.
G'day, I'm Eric. Day 41 of the trip, Saturday the 23rd of February 2013. Anywho, it's coming up to the end of the trip, and when I leave, Sydney will also be spay tomorrow. I have a bit of a long wait at LAX. I have the flight arriving into LAX about 1 o'clock into Terminal 7 because I'm flying United, and then I'm flying Virgin Australia out of Terminal 3, which doesn't leave till about 8:30. So, of course, you know, you have to check in and pass through border protection and, you know, all that usual sort of good stuff. But I thought, so what am I going to do at LAX? Because I noticed when I went looking around the terminal last time, because I knew I was going to have the long layover this time, the food options in the unsecure LAX areas of LAX is extremely restricted. Probably the best bet would be the food court of Tom Bradley International, which, funnily enough, doesn't have a terminal number. So you could actually say there's like 9 terminals at LAX instead of the 8 that they usually quote, plus Tom Bradley. So I'm thinking, well, that's the best option. So I'd have to get the bus from Terminal 7 around to Tom Bradley, which is past Terminal 3, and then have to go around the loop again, unless I just walk from with the luggage from Tom Bradley back to Terminal 3. So I thought, I'm not usually like an airport lounge kind of guy, you know, like the clubs that the various airlines have. You know, I'm not usually one of those sort of guys. I'm usually just happy like sitting at the gate, or, you know, sitting in the airport somewhere, having something to eat, and then boarding the plane. But considering the severe lack of food options at LAX, if you're not actually travelling, or if you're not actually able to check in, because, you know, the check-in's a few hours before the flight. So I thought, maybe if I go into a club lounge. The best club lounge, I thought, well, I'm flying Virgin Australia, so I thought, well, there's the Virgin America lounge in Terminal 3. So I'd go to Terminal 7, Terminal 3, check in, into the Virgin Club, and then on the Virgin plane home. Virgin Australia only allow you to go into that club if you have gold or platinum frequent flyer status, which I don't have. You know, I'm borderline silver at the moment. Okay, can't do that. So I thought, okay, next step. I'll try Acme. You know, Acme and Virgin have an alliance. But the only problem with that is, Acme flies out of Terminal 5. And so I looked on the map, and this is what's commonly happening with the lounges. They're commonly being placed inside the secure area, so you have to pass through TSA and everything to get to the lounge. So I'd have to go into security and then back out and then back over to Terminal 3. So that wasn't going to work. Then I worked out, okay, who else is in Terminal 3? Say Virgin America, Virgin Australia, JetBlue, and Spirit. I'm thinking, well, JetBlue is a low-cost carrier. They're not going to have a lounge. Spirit, probably not either. And then I thought, what about going via Virgin America? Will they do it? So I went onto the website, and they says, yes, $40, we'll let you in. But I wasn't too sure how that would go in with the check-in procedure. But very quickly, I actually called the lounge at LAX, spoke to the wonderful Rebecca, and she basically gave me the Virgin Australia spiel. And then I says, well, what if I pay my way in? You know, your site, the Virgin America site, says $40, and then lounge access you can has. She says, yes, you can do that. Check-in. She found out when check-in was for me. So she says, come and see me. Come and see me and introduce yourself when you come and see us in the lounge on Monday. So Virgin Lounge, Australia says no, America says yes. It's amazing what cash can do. Good night, Interweb. G'day, I'm Merck, and welcome to day 43 of my trip, Stateline, Monday the 25th of February 2013. Coming to you from the Virgin America Lounge here at Los Angeles International Airport, and I have had a rather excellent afternoon. Indeed, I have had a rather excellent afternoon after I found out that I was able to gain access to this lounge for $40. I didn't have the status to do it via the Virgin Australia Frequent Flyer program, but money talks here in America, so I handed over my $40 and in I came. There's about three separate zones. There's like a chill out zone if you just want to basically chill out in front of the TV, etc. There's what I'd call the Av Geek zone, where if you want to, you know, watch the planes and everything like that. And then there's the bar, zone 3. Very nice facilities. You can get food here. Not a great selection of food, has to be said. It's mainly like a nibbly sort of a buffet thing. The main aim of this lounge is, you know, you're not here all day. It's just a place to relax for a couple of hours before the flight or whatever, and then you go, because it's mainly meant for Virgin America domestically. But there's a lot of accents that I'm hearing in here that suggest, and what I've overheard people talking about, they're going back to Australia, Virgin Australia. What a great place to sit back and relax here, do whatever you want to do, you know, get on your internet, mobile device of choice, look out the window, drink, eat, and just chill out and relax before the 14-15 hour flight back home. So I'm really, even though I had to pay the $40, I'm really glad that I came in here. This is actually my first time in an Icon Airport lounge. And so it's really cool that the decor is typical Virgin, you know, young and hip. Lots of people in here. You know, just doing whatever they want to do, that's totally fine. And you don't have a lot of the screaming and the yelling and all of the noise that goes on associated with an airport. Then again, when it comes down to it, I like some of that noise. Like, for instance, finding out where all the different planes are going and, you know, boarding announcements and whatnot. But one of the good things is here that you show your boarding pass, because that's the whole idea, that you're actually getting a plane somewhere. And, of course, you'll pass security. And so you're obviously going somewhere. So the staff will actually come and tell you when it's time to get on your flight, so you don't have to worry about, am I going to miss my flight? What happens if I go and have a couple of beers, and then have a couple of more beers, and then have a couple more beers, and a couple of more beers, and then lose track of time? You're in a safe environment here, and they'll come and find you when the time is right to board your plane. So it's about an hour or so before boarding
About 90 minutes before we actually leave. It's 18:45 on Monday the 25th of February. We're due to depart at 20:25, which is a couple of hours earlier than I remember for the same trip in 2009 when I flew Qantas back to Australia. So I've seen a variety of airlines past the window. Most of the, or if not all of the American domestic carriers, and then there's the overseas ones, like Aero Mexico, Air Canada, Air France, British Airways, Air China I've seen, Aeroflot. You know, there's been quite a few. Some companies I've never even heard of, but I've seen them too. Doing a bit of photography and just sitting back, relaxing, flying high quotes to people on Twitter. It's all good. In the next section, I'll tell you about my day with TSA because that was very interesting. Bye, Merc. Thanks for listening. Good night, Twitter. G'day, I'm Merc, and welcome to day 43 of the trip. Last day today, Monday the 25th of February 2013, in the Virgin America Lounge at LAX prior to my departure back home to Australia. Interesting day with the TSA, the Transport Security Administration here in LA, because I was flying domestically, first of all, from San Luis Obispo to LA, I needed to go through one lot of security, and then because I'm travelling with a different airline from a different terminal, I had to go through the security again. Now, as much as I joke about San Luis Obispo International Airport, it's a tiny airport. There's one small terminal, basically one departure gate, and it's small. You know, it only takes very small planes of the absolute most you can get onto there with the current facilities is something like a 737 or an A320. So it's not the hugest place and the hugest airport in the world. But still, because they are part of the American air travelling network, they have to have security. And so they have TSA agents, just like they do in big places like LAX and JFK and all those other airports. Mind you, of course, there's less of them and there's basically only one line. So I went through there this morning after saying goodbye to Shauno and Jen. And many people say, or many like airline type people say that they don't appreciate jokes about aviation security, and you know, you should treat the whole process totally seriously. But of course, you know, there is a little bit of a time for humour in the correct way. And as much as you don't not necessarily like what the TSA have to do or how they do it, you know, the people that are body massaging you, for lack of a better term, they're only following orders. And so they might not necessarily agree with it either, but they signed on the dotted line, and so they have to do what their masters tell them. You know, a lot of it's just over the top. Classic example of that was today. I went through slow, and one joke that they do seem to appreciate is something like, well, looks like I picked the wrong day to wear loose pants. You know, they sort of recognise that, especially where they, you know, get you to take your belts off and then they get you to raise your arms for the x-ray machine. So I went through the machine, and for some reason the TSA guy at slow, he was very interested in my button for my jeans, which was a bit how you're doing. Out of all the airports that I've been through in pants like this, you know, no one's ever said anything like that. You know, he felt around there and he goes, oh, it's probably just the button. Yeah, thanks, mate. Next time, you want to take me to Denny's first? You know, get to know each other, maybe? And so, flew from slow to LAX, no problem. Changed terminals, no problem. Through TSA security again, Terminal 3, LAX. And I've gone through and I'm well good at this process because I do it reasonably often, so I know what I'm doing. And so the guy
I step through the machine, and then the guy says, stop there. And then he proceeds to basically give my left foot a pat down. Not my right foot as well, but just the top of my left foot a pat down. I didn't have my shoes on, because I'm in America. I had my shoes off. And so something in my sock interested him, and he gave me a foot rub on the top of the foot. I thought at least, again, he could have at least taken the Denny's and get me to know me a bit better. Or if he's going to rub my feet, make sure to do the other one as well. So it just seems strange. Same day, same person, two different airports, and they go after two different parts of the body despite nothing being there. And when you have to go through the whole procedure, oh boy, the whole procedure is something totally different, but more about that at another time. Hi, Mac, thanks for listening. Stay safe. Get on into it.
Yeah.
My name's Stuart. I'm a flight manager. I'm welcome you. Look, you know, I'm going to board around 20 to the hour. I'll make an announcement after you once you're underway. Gate 38 downstairs. There's an express lane over on the left hand side, so please feel free to use that. And, Intercity just after curfew around 6 o'clock or something.
Sweet.
Look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Wow, that's something different. Well, obviously, I've never been in here, of course. I'm Erk. It is the 25th of February 2013. I don't know how much of that conversation you actually heard, but that was Stuart, our cabin manager from Virgin Australia, and he was telling us that, you know, what time we're going to board and that sort of thing. And there's actually an express, well, we have to go downstairs to gate 38, and there's actually an express lane that we can use to get onto the plane, which I thought was interesting. Maybe because we've all got status. I know I haven't, but there will be a further announcement made when it comes down to boarding time. Yeah, so would I do this again on a long haul flight such as this? Yes, I would, absolutely. I would absolutely do that for sure. Would I do it domestically? Maybe, maybe not. I know the single entry is a little bit more expensive in Australia, but yeah, I just sort of wonder, you know, if I was travelling Sydney, Perth or Perth, Sydney, maybe. But if I was doing something simple like Sydney, Melbourne or Sydney, Bruce, Vegas, well, maybe not. But for something long haul, this has been quite a good way to, like, to relax. They don't have some of the facilities which some of the other airlines may have, because this is mainly a domestic lounge. But when it comes down to, you know, you can eat, you can drink, you can chill out, you can pair your devices, you can get on your devices and all that sort of stuff, and it's a great way just to sit back and relax without the throng of passengers downstairs. So I didn't know they actually did that. I dare say that because of the number of passengers, as I've heard, who are travelling to Sydney on Virgin Australia flight number 2, that's why he's come around in groups and says, you know, we are, you know, boarding at, you know, X time, but, you know, relax, there'll be an announcement and you'll have to go downstairs, etc., etc. So that was really nice. I noticed that for passengers who haven't been travelling in a large group like this on an individual basis, who might have been travelling somewhere, the front door staff will come up and say, you know, oh, you know, Fred, it's, you know, time to go, or, you know, your flight will be departing. You know, you'll need to get ready for boarding soon, that sort of stuff. So that's one of the benefits, I suppose, of being here. When I'm actually downstairs at a gate lounge, I don't necessarily hang out in the gate lounge that I'm actually at. It just depends. Sometimes I'm in a different part of the terminal taking aircraft photos and whatnot. But yeah, this is definitely something that I would seriously consider again, especially considering that when I get back and all this trip is done and all the points have gone in, I'll be silver status, and that's not bad considering that I've basically done this since October last year.
and that a lot of the time I've been doing it in discount economy. So, as you might say on a frequent flyer forum, I've done it the hard way. Anywho, I'm Merck. I'm sitting back and preparing for my flight. Talk soon. Good night, Twitter. G'day, I'm Merck. Welcome to day 43 of my trip. It is Monday, the 25th of February 2013, and it's the last day of the trip. Last day of the trip today in the Virgin Australia Lounge, or the Virgin America Lounge, actually. But it's, of course, it's coach here with Virgin Australia in Terminal 3 at LAX. Anywho, I was reflecting about the security process that I went through a little bit earlier, both here at LAX and also at San Luis Obispo. And while I was going through and while I was getting all my, putting my belt back on and putting my shoes on and putting my jacket on, I'd noticed that, like, next to me there was a man using a wheelchair, and he was about to get patted down by a TSA officer. Now, for obvious reasons, they don't necessarily take the take people using wheelchairs in for the X-ray scanner, but some people might say, well, why are we bothering to, you know, to scan those people? Now, why are we bothering to, you know, basically do the same thing to them that you do to everyone else? It could be quite simple. If terrorists find out that that people using wheelchairs or crutches or whatever don't get screened, well, that's a potential loophole. You know, they could use people, you know, using wheelchairs, and you feel sorry for them, so you help them through and you don't check them, and then all of a sudden, you know, terrorism attack. It's 9/11 all over again. So it's probably a good idea, as bad as this might sound, probably a good idea that every single person gets checked to a similar standard. So what they do a full pat down. And I was listening to this, and the TSA guy was very professional about it. And he says, you know, at any time if you want me to stop, tell me to stop. If at any time you want this done in a private room, let's do it in a private room. You know, if you have any questions, let me know, and that sort of stuff. And he talked, before he even did anything, he talked the guy through the whole procedure, how he was going to start at his head, work his way down his body, and how he was going to do the enhanced pat-down. And then when he was actually doing it, he was explaining to the guy again, you know, what was going on. And in that way, I think that the procedures have probably changed a lot for the better, so you know exactly, exactly what's about to happen. But it did make me wonder, what is things like TSA school like, where you actually have to learn all these procedures? You know, is there, like, in first aid, you've got, like, the resus anti, where you practice CPR, because, of course, you can't necessarily practice CPR on a live person. Do you have to give people in your class pat-downs? So you're learning how to be a border protection person. And, of course, not only do you have to know how to do the correct procedure, do it in a systematic way, and do it in a dignified way, in a way that isn't turning into an episode of Sexual Harassment Panda. You have to explain what you're doing as well. So you would be the best person at patting down someone, but if you haven't got any communication skills to back that up, well, that's not going to be very good, and you're not going to last very long, and people are going to get frustrated. There'll be more complaints and all that sort of stuff. So I wonder, you know, what's that actually like? And, you know, is there, they would have to do some sort of, a lot of training to know what to do, what you can do, what you can't do, what to look for, and all this sort of stuff. And then I thought about, what would happen if a TSA officer was actually having sex with his or her partner? You know, I'm going to start at your head, and I'm going to work down. I'm going to put my hand into your waistband, and then my hand is going to move down towards the groinal area, and then then I will examine you. That makes me wonder, makes me laugh, but, you know, you got to have a joke sometimes, because if you don't, you'll go mad. Stay safe. Good night, Interweb.
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to day 44 and day 45 of the trip. Tuesday the 26th of February and Wednesday the 27th of February 2013. I'm on board my Virgin Australia flight, recording this from the Coventry actually. It is rather early in the morning. Let me tell you about Tuesday. Yeah, let me tell you about Tuesday first, day 44 of the trip. Effectively, there was no day 44, Tuesday the 26th of February, because I left LA at 20 past 8 on Monday night. And then with time zone changes and everything crossing the international dateline, I arrive into Sydney at about 6 a.m. on Wednesday. So there's effectively no Tuesday. So now we move to Wednesday. It is 4:30 a.m. Sydney time, 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, Los Angeles time, but then again, I'm over 10,000 kilometres away from there now. I've actually slept for most of the trip, which has been great. Sitting next to an absolute babe, I'm going to say, probably the hottest babe I've ever sat next to on a plane, but apart from that. Staff service have been good. Boarding was a bit of a zoo, but that's Los Angeles International Flight. And overall, flight's been good. Haven't used the in-flight entertainment. I've just been listening to podcasts. Steve Grant from Plain Crazy Down Under did a 2-hour podcast for episode 100. Congratulations, guys. And Colin from the Robberous podcast on his Raw Footage podcast. He's doing an Oscar preview, which is almost 4 hours long, so I was able to listen to those. So, breakfast is being served at the moment. We're currently getting served breakfast. And it is... we're about an hour and a half away from Sydney. Hey, Hugh, I'm back. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Hi Merc, this is day 43 of the trip, Monday the 25th of February 2013. I am on the plane. I wish I could turn left into Premium Economy Business or First, but I can't. Turning right into Economy. But I do have an exit rate, which I purchased earlier. Wonderful. There is so much leg room here, even though I don't have a window seat or anything like that, that's fine. Yeah, that's heaps of room, that's awesome.
We're on a Boeing 777 BR, and there's so many people to board. So many people.
I couldn't believe he's standing right behind you. I was like, is he there? I'm like, nah. Because you don't really see them, you're like, nah.
Yeah, you're like, that
you
could
be why would I see something? Like,
yeah. If I see you get up and walk to the front, I know where you're going.
G'day, I'm Mac. This is day 45 of the trip, Wednesday the 27th of February 2013. Dateline Central Station, Sydney. I'm on the train. I am waiting to get home. Got through customs and border protection okay. As usual, the longest bit was waiting for the bags. Bags were inspected by quarantine, got through quite easily, no problem at all. Spent more time trying to get mobile phone service so I can tweet to Australia to say, hey, I'm here. Went to the Vodafone store at the airport to get a SIM card for my new phone, so I'm back on air. In that regard, got the train to Central, had breakfast at Central, and now I am waiting for the train to the card. So this is the last train trip for this particular journey. As I mentioned in an earlier message, as I may have mentioned earlier, I managed to sleep for most of the flight, so that was good. Need to have a shower, need to get a change of clothes, and need to relax and then get on with the task of washing all the clothes and also preparing for the various contents on ERK FM and also ERK Pod from all the stuff that I've recorded from the trip, you know, transferring all the photos and all the sound and video files to my computer and all that sort of stuff. But if I decide to go to bed early today, who cares, really?
I was starting to think that too. I was like, well, should just take the next one behind us.
No, I mean, I was
just... So I'm just waiting for the train to depart. It has been an absolutely awesome trip. And of course, if circumstances were different, I could still be traveling. This is actually my shortest trip. That's excellent. So we're off. This is actually the shortest trip that I've done on my extended trips away to the Northern Hemisphere. 6 weeks. The other trips were, you know, 2.5-3 months. Of course. Of course, if I was traveling, still, I'd still be enjoying it. But now that I'm home, I'll be taking it easy for a couple of days. Ring my roster god today or tomorrow to say, hey, when am I going back to my place of employment? Anywho, I'm Erk. This has been a lot of fun bringing you the audio booze that, of course, will appear as Erkpod episodes. Thank you to everyone who has provided feedback for me. It's been really good to get your perspective on things. And I hope, as normal, it feels like you've travelled along the ride for me. So then, yeah, for the foreseeable future, this will be the last audio booth. And, of course, you can follow me on the social networks at Erkpod and Facebook. Facebook.com/channel Oak. Follow me there, but also listen to Channel Oak, channeloak.com, for content from the trip, including the 70,000 tons of metal coverage in March, and also the extended Oakpod episodes from the trip. So the final time, I'm back. Thanks for listening. It's been a wonderful trip. Thank you to everyone involved, and good night to everyone.
I hope you've enjoyed this series, Audio Booing Across America. We started the trip off in mid-January, and at the end of February, I was home back in Australia. It was great to see Shauno and Jen again, and you can find those guys at nomarket.org. There will be more content from San Luis Obispo, including the episode of No Market Radio that I appeared on very, very soon. But in the meantime, from next week, we have finished the Audio Boo episodes. We are going to have extended Erkpod episodes, basically in the same order in which we did the trip. So just because you've heard the Audio Boo episodes doesn't mean that you've heard everything that I recorded. I hope you've enjoyed it. It was certainly a good way to be able to get the information to you in some sort of real time, you know, internet permitting, of course. But it was also great to be able to not necessarily need to edit an episode and upload it while I was on the road. Recording the audio boos and uploading those to the internet, they did that job for me in some way. But then again, I thought I should put all those episodes together to give you a snippet, especially if you might have missed some. Anywho, I'm Erk. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Audio Boo. You did well. And next time, we'll be starting the trip, but in detail. Thanks for listening. Good night.